Thank you, praise team. Thank you, John, Denise, Nathan, and Nathan. Beautiful as always. Thank you. Resurrection reality. Has Jesus really been raised from the dead? Scoffers would say no. Lovers of God would say yes. And if he's been raised from the dead, so what? What's that mean for you and for me? In a letter to an early church in Corinth, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, says this. This is 1 Corinthians 15. You're not going to see it on your screen yet. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 13 to 22. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith also is vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. So the reality of the resurrection, whether it's true or not, matters. As a matter of fact, there's not another event that's happened in all of time that matters more than this one single event of the raised up Jesus Christ. Nothing else matters if Jesus has not been raised. And if Jesus has been raised, then nothing else matters. What we're going to seek today is we're going to seek from the scriptures to see what do the scriptures say about the resurrection of Jesus. And what's that mean for you and for me? So what then? That's where we're headed. So our goal today, and I want to speak first and foremost to those of us who follow Jesus Christ by faith. Our goal today is not to look at truths that have become kind of not strong in our hearts anymore. Truths that we've maybe given ourselves over to in the past, but now we think, well, I believe that and it doesn't really affect my life. It doesn't change how I think today or how I live today or the way I make choices today. But if the resurrection of Jesus Christ is true, if it's real, we're going to see from the scriptures that it should affect every aspect of our life. And it will affect every aspect of our life, both here and now and for eternity. Will you pray with me? Let's seek the Lord together. Father, we look to you today. Lord, the things that we're looking into, the things that we're seeking out in your scriptures today, Lord, they're not a mystery. Your power, your mercy, your grace, those are mysterious. But whether you've done this or not is not a mystery. It's plain and it's clear. And God, we praise you. Because if you hadn't raised up Jesus, then we would be lost forever. God, thank you that you've given a real Savior for real sinners like me and like all of us, like everybody watching this video. Oh, God, we praise you that you've given us your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's one day in the whole year where we should exalt the raised up Jesus, this is it. Because there's nobody else like Jesus. Nobody else paid the price for my sin. And nobody else was raised up to show his power over death, to show his divineness, and also to offer newness of life and eternal life. Lord, there's nobody else. So, Father, we thank you. Lord, as we walk through your word now, please help us. Lord, scriptures that we've seen before, save us from just walking through them and not being impacted by what's true. Lord, transform us by your truth today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look at a lot of scripture today. We're going to be bumping around. But we're going to look for three big ideas. And the first of them is this: Jesus has been resurrected. The first big idea we're going to see from the scripture is Jesus has been raised up to new life. So why is it so imperative that there were witnesses to his resurrection? We're going to see that here in just a minute. We're going to see several scriptures that talk about early followers of Christ who witnessed his resurrection. John and I just read the account. A really good friend of mine, who didn't want me to quote his name, but a really good friend of mine says this: early followers of Jesus were martyred or put to death for their faith. Early followers of Jesus were martyred for something they saw and couldn't deny. Not something they believed, but something they had seen. And they could not deny it. And so when their lives were put to the test, when they were challenged, when they were threatened with death, they took death. Not because of just what they believed, but because of what they had seen. They were eyewitnesses of his majesty, Peter says. The resurrection was the cornerstone upon which all the early followers of Jesus believed, and we up to this day. It's the cornerstone of what we believe. And the resurrection was also the heartbeat of what the apostles preached. We're going to see that now. First, let's go to Acts chapter 1. The early apostles here, there were 12 initially that were chosen by Jesus. One was the son of perdition, right? He betrayed Jesus, then killed himself. So now there are only 11 apostles. So in Acts chapter 1, they're going to choose a new apostle. And let's see what they say here. Pick it up in verse 21. Therefore, it is necessary that of the men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. In other words, there weren't just the 12. There were many more followers of Jesus than just the 12. And many more that we just saw, more than 500 that saw him raised up. So they're referring to these other followers of Jesus. Therefore, it's necessary that of the men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John, until the day that he was taken up from us, meaning through his resurrection and raised and taken up into glory, they said one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And there it is. That's the first time. We're going to see this many times. And I don't have time today to show you all the scriptures that talk about witnesses of the resurrection. There are too many to do in one sermon, in one Sunday morning, literally. But you know, when I read this, it reminds me of what we just had read, what John and I just read a few minutes ago in Acts 1:8, which is the whole heartbeat of the book of Acts. We just preached through the book of Acts a few years back. And over, we saw that the heartbeat of that entire recording of the immediate aftermath of Jesus' life and ministry, the entire recording of the early church, the heartbeat that the early apostles and followers of Jesus, the heartbeat that they clung to, was exactly what Jesus had said in Acts 1:8. He said, "And you shall be my witnesses." Well, what had they witnessed? Not just his life, and thankfully, not just his death. They had witnessed his resurrection. And so we see here that being a witness to his resurrection was also one of the requirements of the next apostle that was chosen, Matthias. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Peter here in Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching at Pentecost, and he's going to quote two psalms here. He says, "And so, because he was a prophet," speaking of David here, "because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne, he," David, "looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus," right? This is Peter speaking to a multitude there in Jerusalem. He says, "This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses." Again, the resurrection of Jesus is not a fanciful thought. It's not wishful thinking. It was witnessed. And it was witnessed and then declared to all the people there in Jerusalem at Pentecost. Let's look at another passage. This is Peter preaching after he's healed. The Lord through him has healed a beggar. This is Acts chapter 3. And he's preaching after he's healed this beggar. He preaches because a crowd gathers. He says, "But you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you." You know, really quickly here, Peter is not shy. He does not hold back. He says, you Jews here in Jerusalem, right? And remember, Peter's a Jew. I'm not an anti-Semitist. I'm not against the Jews at all. We're just preaching the scriptures as they are. But Peter, a Jew, calls out these early Jews there in Jerusalem, calls them out and says, this is what you did. You know what? It wasn't only what they did. It's clear from the scriptures that you and I, it was our sin that Jesus paid for on that cross. It was also in obedience to the Father. The Father was pleased to put his son to death, to put our sin on him. But what we see here is this. He doesn't just shoot really straight with these folks. He goes on in verse 15. He says, but you put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead. And then he says, a fact to which we are witnesses. Again, what we see here is simple. Jesus has been raised up. This isn't wishful thinking on the part of early believers, and thankfully it's not wishful thinking on my part or your part if you are a follower of Jesus today. If you are believing, resting yourself in the raised up Jesus and what he's done on that cross for you, that's not just wishful thinking. It's a fact, and Peter preached it as such. Praise the Lord, and we preach it as a fact today. Let's move ahead here in Acts. I was about to call it the Gospel of Acts. I do that sometimes. This is Paul and Barnabas in Pisidian Antioch. Again, we pick up in verse 29. When they had carried out all that was written concerning him, concerning Jesus, they took him down from the cross, so Jesus is dead, and they laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he appeared to those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, the very ones who are now his witnesses to the people. And we preach to you the good news of the promise made to the fathers. Again, he says that these very ones who had been with Jesus, who have seen him raised up, he says they are now witnesses to the people. And he says, and we preach this good news. What good news? The good news that Jesus is alive. In other words, the one who took my sin and yours on the cross, he's alive. And so that payment that he made, he didn't have to pay for his own sin. That payment that he made, he now offers to you and to me to live in newness of life. We're going to see it in a minute, to walk in newness of life. Hey, believer, hey, follower of Jesus, if you've welcomed Jesus as your Savior, if you've received him, but you're not walking in newness of life, that's a little different. In other words, if you're not living in the sweet, sweet place of resting in what Jesus has done and that he smiles on you, that there's no condemnation, hey, believer, that's one of the reasons that he was put to death and raised up again. That's good news. That's the good news. That's the gospel. Best news we're going to get. So it's what I think is really neat here, what we see here in Acts 13, and we've already seen it, but what we begin to see here so plainly is that what they had witnessed, his resurrection, becomes the why they're witnessing. Because they've seen him raised up, they can't keep it in. It moves them to give it out. Does what you have experienced in Jesus, if you're in Jesus Christ, I'm talking to followers of Jesus now, is what you've experienced in Jesus, is that moving you to tell others about Jesus? It should be. It should be. The apostles are gone. The prophets are gone. Not everybody's a preacher. But every follower of Jesus has been called to live as a witness, to tell the story. You know, these witnesses, what they do here with this, the fact that they witnessed his resurrection, none of them could ever get past it. You know, they were witnesses, but not like we are today, of things that we may witness today. A few years ago, right out here on Highway 13, I was witness to to three wrecks in a row, three big, that totaled 10 cars all piled up right here outside the church building. And I got called as a witness. Somebody was suing somebody. And I got called as a witness. And so I went, I gave a deposition. I was interviewed by two lawyers. It was all recorded. There was a stenographer there, and she was doing this on this machine, writing down everything I said. But you know what? I've never told anybody else all that. What I witnessed that day doesn't change my life in the least little bit. And there's nothing that you and I are ever going to witness that could affect us like these early witnesses were affected. Their lives were changed forever. They couldn't get over it. They couldn't get past it. And they couldn't deny it. I would that I would never be able to think about anything else, that I could never be in a conversation with someone where then in the back of my mind, I'm not thinking and even throwing up popcorn prayers to the Lord. Lord, how can I talk about the raised up Jesus? How can I get the raised up Jesus in this conversation? Because Lord, you want this person that I get to talk with right now. You want this person to place themselves for eternity in the care of your raised up son, Jesus. That's what he wants for us. That's how he wants us to live. He wants us to live in such a way that he can use us. As we live in this very kind of mundane world, he wants to use our lives for something eternal, for something that's going to last beyond us in the lives of others. Let's look at one more verse here. This is Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Remember, this is the Holy Spirit through Paul. He wrote this to a church, to early believers in Jesus that lived in Rome at the time. And he says this, he's talking about Jesus. He says, Jesus, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. I really, really like this. This is so helpful for me. He was declared the Son of God with power. It wasn't just somebody sitting down somewhere calmly saying, oh, you know, Jesus, he was raised up. The fact of the raised up Jesus declares him with power to be who he said he was, that he is God and that he's the only Savior. Jesus said, I am the way and there's not another way. He was declared the Son of God with power. So the first big thing that we see is Jesus has been raised up. Jesus has been resurrected. It's fact. It's true. And you and I can bank our life and our eternity on it. So this is the first big thing. Jesus has been raised up. Number two, here's the second big idea. You have been raised up with him if you're in Christ. You have been raised up with him. I want you to keep that phrase with him strong there in the front of your mind. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, we read the first the verses that kind of led up to this. Now we're going to read the next two verses. Verse 20, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, he's talking about Adam, he says, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead, the second Adam, Jesus. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ, all will be made alive. In Christ. So does that mean everybody's going to be made alive? Everybody's going to know life with God for eternity in the new heaven and the new earth? No, that's not what it says. It doesn't say everybody. It says in Christ, all will be made alive. In Christ. So this begs the question, are you in Christ? Again, it's the question of the ages. What do you do with Jesus? There's nothing else that matters. If you live a great life, if you help all kinds of people, if you give millions of dollars, billions of dollars away to charity, none of that matters if you're not in Christ. Because you may be good according to this world's standards, but you and I in and of ourselves are not holy. And that's what God requires. He requires you and me to be sinless, to be able to have relationship with him, to be able to have a face-to-face relationship with him. He requires us to be sinless. Well, here's the problem. You and I are far from it. The whole gospel message, the point of the whole gospel message is simply this. You and I are not holy. We are filled with sin in and of ourselves. But what Jesus Christ did on that cross on Good Friday, just 3 days ago, what he did then to pay for sin, if you'll welcome Jesus, he brings that payment for sin and he gives you his righteous standing before his heavenly Father. And if you sit there, wherever you are, and you say, that's too good to be true, it sounds like it, doesn't it? My dad told me when I was a little kid, he said, Mikey, there's no free lunch. Well, I went to public school. There are people getting free lunch all the time. He said, there's no free lunch. Somebody had to pay for it. Salvation in Jesus Christ is free to you and me, but it cost Jesus his life. So the question remains, are you in Christ? Because that's the whole key. Are you in Christ? Are you resting in Christ? Have you declared your sin? And have you said, Jesus, that sin, I don't want to be living in that place. I don't want to be living in that way. I don't want to stay there, Lord. I want you to come in. And I want you to take my sin away. What you did on that cross, Lord, I reach out. I want to receive you. The only payment for sin. And if you do that, the Bible says you are in Christ. And if you're in Christ, the Bible says you'll be made alive, that you'll be raised up. Let's look at a few more verses here that help us to see that if we're in Christ, we'll be raised up with him, right? That we already have been, is what the Bible says. John 11, remember this in John 11? I don't have this up on the scripture on the screen for you, but John 11, we looked at it just last week. John 11, a good friend of Jesus has just died, Lazarus. And Lazarus has two sisters, and Mary and Martha, their names, and Jesus is talking with Martha. And Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And then he asks her, again, it's the same kind of question. It's the money question. Do you believe this? If you believe this, if you believe what Jesus says about himself, then you're in Christ. So let's look at some more verses that talk about what that looks like and how that works in us. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 14. Knowing that he, Jesus, who raised the Lord Jesus, will raise us also with Jesus. There's that phrase, with Jesus, and will present us with you. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul to the church at Corinth. And Paul is speaking to these believers, and he says, the Father who's raised Jesus is going to raise you and us too with you. He's going to present us all. The point that we see here is that if you're with Jesus, then you're raised up with Jesus. If you're in Jesus, you're raised up with him. Let's look at one more verse here. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 6. Now, I say Ephesians 2, 4. I call it the 2x4. Ephesians 2, 4. I think this is where God finally explains why on earth it is that he loves me. Because I don't understand why he would love me. I'm being straight. You say, Mike, that's false humility. No, I know me better than you do. And in and of myself, I'm a pretty ugly guy. But Ephesians 2, verse 4 tells me why he loves me. It finally is explained. This is what it says. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he has loved us. Well, there it is. Why does God love sinners? Because he's chosen to love sinners. Because he's rich in mercy. So let's finish it out. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he's loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, God made us alive together with Christ. There it is again, with Christ. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know what that means? That means if you're in Christ, the Father says that you and I, if you're in Christ, if we're resting in Jesus and what he's done, he says that we've already been raised up. You say, but I'm still alive in this body. What do you mean? Spiritually. It means that, in other words, our reality from God's perspective is that we've already been raised up. It's as good as done. Because from his perspective, if we're in Christ, we're already experiencing his resurrected life. So there's the second big idea. You, if you're in Christ, you've been raised up with him. So we see the reality of the resurrection. It's true. Jesus has been raised up. And then we see what it means that you and I are raised up with him. And now we see the third big idea. And that's to live out the resurrection today. If you're a follower of Jesus, you can live out his resurrection today. Let's look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. I call this sacrificial love. Sacrificial love. It's the second line from our church's vision statement. We want to be sacrificially loving others. And that's what we see right here in Acts chapter 4. Let's pick up in verse 33. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. There it is. This is, again, tied in with his resurrection. And abundant grace was upon them all, for there was not a needy person among them. For all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. What we see here is that based in the fact that Jesus is raised up from the dead and there's this abundant grace on all of them, they were meeting each other's needs, even materially. And that's exactly what we're seeing right now in this coronavirus crisis. We see lovers of Jesus, the body of Christ, living out the resurrection of Jesus by giving of themselves. I saw another one just today. Again, this person would not want me to say a name. But there was a need. There's a couple in the church, an older couple that shared a need. And that need went out along the air, kind of along the email wires there. And somebody that wasn't even, you know, necessarily kind of supposed to meet that need just said, I got it. That's the body of Christ living out the resurrection of Jesus. Sacrificially serving others. Sacrificial love right there. Let's look at another one in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6. Remember, this is the Holy Spirit through Paul to early believers living in Rome. He says, therefore, we have been buried with him, with Jesus, through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. There's that phrase. So what's going on here? In Romans chapter 6, the Holy Spirit is making this case for these Roman believers, these followers of Jesus. And he's saying that they shouldn't go on in sin. They shouldn't live a life of sin, even though there's plenty of grace to take care of their sin. And aren't we all thankful that there's plenty of grace to cover our sin, actually to take our sin away? But where he's going here, he says, hey, followers of Jesus, you've been buried with Jesus. And you've been raised up with Jesus. His death is your death to sin, is what he's saying. And his life is your life. And then he says, now, because of his resurrection, if you're in Jesus now, he says, you can walk in newness of life. So how do I live out the resurrection of Jesus? I enjoy this good gift of Jesus to walk in newness of life. In other words, that old condemnation, those old sin patterns that we all struggle against, they don't have to rule us. We can walk in newness of life. That's the gospel kind of played out in our lives, and it's resurrection life played out in our lives. Let's look at the next two verses, Romans 6, 5 and 6. He says, for if we have become united with Jesus in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be, meaning united with him, in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him. In other words, when Jesus died on that cross, if you're in Jesus, your old self was crucified there on that cross. That's what he's saying. He says, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with. To what end? So that we would no longer be slaves to sin. There it is. So that we would no longer be slaves to sin. In other words, even though we still struggle against sin, and we're going to as long as we're alive on this earth in this old fleshy body, but we don't have to be slaves to it. Sin's a bad master. Jesus is a good master. So how can we let the resurrection be lived out in our lives today? We don't have to any longer be slaves to sin. But again, I want to address this because the reality is, as followers of Jesus, sin can still rule us. The choices that you and I make to give ourselves over just moment by moment. You know, I don't think it's usually one big whopping decision that we make, although certainly we have to make a decision to turn away from feeding our flesh and to feed the new man in us. But that's got to be followed up by a million little decisions that we make in our will to either feed the new man. And one of the biggest ways that I see this is in the Word of God. What am I doing with the Word of God? What are you doing with the Word of God? Are you getting a regular daily diet of the Word of God? As a church, we've welcomed everybody that's a part of our fellowship here to be a part of a regular daily Bible reading program. And if you do it every day, you'll read through the entire Bible in 1 year. And I want to call out to all the folks at FCC in particular that are doing this. If you've fallen off the wagon a little bit, hey, just hop back on where you are. That regular daily dose of getting the Word of God, which means the grace and the truth of Jesus in us, let it wash you. That's one of the pictures of the Word in the Word itself. The Bible is that it's like a shower that washes us. We wash with the water of the Word. Washing our thinking, it shows lies for what they are. It shows condemnation for what it is. I don't have to be a slave to sin. I don't have to. I've got options in Jesus Christ. Let's look at another verse here, Romans 7. We're going to move ahead one chapter, Romans 7, verse 4. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another. Okay, so he says that we were all bound to the law, and he means the Old Testament law that just condemns. All it does is show our lack of holiness, but that's a good thing. We need to see that, because then we see our need. If we see our need, that moves us then to turn to seek a Savior, to reach out. And when Jesus says, hey, let me save you, let me be your sin bearer. But he says that we used to be conjoined. We used to be matched up. He says, but now we've been joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead. And why? Why have we been joined to him who was raised from the dead? That we might bear fruit for God. So how do I live this out? What's it look like to live out the resurrection today to be fruit-bearing followers of Jesus? That's what it looks like. It means he wants you and me to walk in him, to trust him, such that we offer ourselves to be used by him. Remember John 15? We're not going to read it, but in John chapter 15, Jesus talks about being a fruit-bearing follower of his, and that he wants us to bear fruit, and fruit that will remain, and much fruit. Living out the resurrection today, letting the truth of Jesus' resurrection be alive and real in me, and letting it move me in how I make choices, leads me to be a fruit-bearing Christian. In other words, not just kind of, you know, saved, satisfied, smug, I'm good. The world's going to hell, and I'm just standing here. Letting the reality of Jesus' resurrection come alive in you, follower of Jesus, means you can't stand there and just let the river of insanity carry everybody away without trying, without leaning in, without saying, Jesus, use me. I want to be used by you to help other people come to know who you are and that you're a good and gentle Savior to bear fruit for God. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 14 and 15. Now God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through his power. Right? So he links us. Right? Here we are again. We're with him. Right? He's been raised up and we've now been linked with him. Verse 15, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ because we're in him? He says, shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. You know what he's talking about? Sexual immorality. Let the reality of Jesus' resurrection come alive in you, flame up in you, and pull you away from the sin that's trying to trap and trip up so many today. Let's be straight. You know, with our coronavirus, kind of current coronavirus situation, I just read it earlier today that the incidence, like a lot of people are drinking a lot more alcohol at home. Alcohol in and of itself doesn't make you an unbeliever. It's not sinful. But to drink it to excess is sinful. Not just sinful, it's destructive, and it leads to destroyed relationships. being at home and being on computers and on our iPhones and everything a lot more. Let's be real. The truth is, a lot of folks struggle with internet pornography. Jesus here says, let the truth of his resurrection pull you away from that, because you've been married to Christ. You've been joined to Christ. Don't join yourself in this false way, in this destructive way. Again, kind of like alcoholism, kind of like drunkenness, destroys lives, destroys relationships. You want the truth of the resurrection to be lived out of your life today. If you're stuck, if you're struggling with some addiction, it doesn't have to be just porn. If you're struggling with some addiction, call out to Jesus for help. I'm serious, right there where you are, get down on your face before the Lord and say, Jesus, help me. Let the truth of your resurrection change me. I'm joined to you. Don't let me join to anything lesser. And don't stop there. Reach out to a strong believer. Hey, FCC, my cell phone number is in your directory. I'm serious as a heart attack. Reach out to Pastor John. Reach out to elders. Let the reality of the resurrection help you to overcome these types of things. Last verse, Colossians 3, verses 1 through 5. Colossians 3. Again, this is a letter written by the Holy Spirit through Paul to these early followers of Jesus there at Colossae. So based on what he's already said in the first two chapters, right, which is that they're, again, that they're in Christ. He says, therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, and the way this is, I think a better translation here that a few versions do use is, therefore, since you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. In other words, you're in Christ. You've been raised up. His resurrection life is your resurrection life. And because of that, he says, keep seeking the things above. In other words, you and I got choices today what we're going to seek. With our lives, with our minds, what are we going to give ourselves over to? What are we going to lean in to? This is what he says. Holy Spirit says, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. And then he gives us more of the why. For you've died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Again, follower of Jesus, you've died in Christ. His death on the cross is your death to sin. And his life is your life. That's where he's going. Verse 3, for you've died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, he's going to give us some more ways. How do I let this resurrection life be lived out today? Therefore, consider. That means, how are you thinking? He's going to call us to choose carefully how we think. He's already said, set your mind on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of the Father. He's already told us what to set our mind on. Now he's going to say it a different way. He's going to say, consider, think carefully, choose your thoughts. Consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Hey, followers of Jesus, if you want to let the truth of the resurrected Jesus, of his life, be lived out of you today, man, he's given us a lot of good, solid ways to grab a hold. The question is, what do you want? What will you grab a hold of today? Will you choose to turn away from the slavery of sin and let the reality of the resurrection be lived out of your life today? Will you choose to walk in newness of life today? Because you can. If you're a Jesus follower, you can walk in newness of life today. If you need help, there are people to help. But first and foremost, call out to your Savior Jesus. And if you've watched this, I got to tell you, I'm impressed. If you've watched this whole video and you're not a follower of Jesus, well, first of all, praise the Lord. Thanks for hanging with us. But it would be horrible for you to listen to this whole message and walk away unchanged. Receive Jesus. It's Easter. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Receive the raised up Jesus and let him give you newness of life. That's the purpose for which he came. And it's the purpose he's still working out even today. Pray with me. Oh, Father God, we thank you that this whole way to for us sinners to be saved, it was all your idea. It's all of you. Not just the idea of the outworking of it, the payment that Jesus made, the raising up of your Son. Lord, it's all you. All by your power, but not just your power, Father, it's by your mercy. The great love with which you have loved us. God, words fail us, but we're thankful. We're thankful that you've given us your Son, and you gave him over for us, and then you raised him up for us. Oh God, we praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name.